Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Previously on the VFN Radio program, you know, I'm kind of eclectic when it comes to a lot of things, you know?
Yes, you are.
And I'm listening to a little Toby Mac this morning.
Right.
You know, Eden says, I was made to love. I can't sing. Can you sing that while I dance?
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I was made to love you. You know, think about it. And I'll give everything for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a concert that he did. And the concert he did was called like Ice Man or something. I don't know what it was. And it was so cool. And mm-hmm. it was just a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Every component, every part of that, you know, and I got to find out what the name of it is. Maybe you guys that are listening can help me out. I can't remember. And but it's just the whole worship concert that took place. We're just worshiping God and all these different generations. Of course, the young people are surprised that we actually have rhythm.
Yeah, right.
That we can enjoy it just as much as they can enjoy it. And it was in Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile.
Yes, and right there they have their Mobile Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
We give a shout out to all of our Mobile listeners, and across the street they have the Mobile Prison. It's like thing to get a look. No, not across the street, on the same side of the street
right,
as you're driving.
Right,
and it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very exciting. I probably embarrassed my kids, of course, when I went because they're like, "You're not supposed to have a good time." So I was like, "No, dude, this is great." And besides, I paid for it. You know, I'm gonna jam for Jesus,
right?
And if you've never heard Toby Mac, you know, just hopefully we'll get an interview. We have an interview that we can make available to you probably on VFN Radio. But I was watching him interview just recently, and he was just sharing his heart, you know, and how much he loves God and, you know, what he's called to do and how he's sowing into other people's lives and young children's life. He's starting, I believe, schools in the inner city.
Oh, wow.
To be able to reach out to kids that were like himself. And he was originally part of a group called...
DC Talk.
EC Talk or DC?
It's DC, yeah. Talk.
And, which is a pretty cool group, too. They kind of broke mm-hmm. broke through some things. But what was that song, the song that we were singing?
Jesus Freak.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wash me, Jesus. Anyway, yeah, but, you know, they were saying, you know, because people were saying at that time in season back in 1812, you know, that, I don't know what year it was then, but I'm sure you'll correct me, whatever year it was.
Well,
he's thinking now, see, it's happening in his head, but it's going nowhere. I'm noticing it's not happening. And, but, you know, we need to support our Christian artists. We need to, you know, get connected with them. We can't assume that good Christian men and women who just open their mouths, which is their gift, and they begin to worship God, and God's presence just envelops the place. You know, it's because it's a gift that God's given them. You know, and the gift can be used for God or it can be used for the world. And one good way to see that is mm-hmm. to watch programs like Britain's Got Talent, you know, and I don't know, American Idol. And you're seeing people as they're going through thousands and thousands of people
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out, you know, who God has gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, nope, nope. Absolutely not. Your mama lied to you. You're not getting to go through this whole big long list of people.
Right.
And but you see that they have no idea. They have no idea
mm-hmm.
what God has done. They have to look for it. They have to pilfer through man, the human race, mm-hmm. to find somebody that's been gifted, and they don't even know they're gifted. They have to go to these people who don't even know
mm-hmm.
to ask them if I'm gifted.
Right.
And they're wanting to take the gift like Samson did. Mm-hmm. It's not Samson, it's Simon did, because Simon wanted to buy the gift. Oh, isn't it interesting? What's the guy's name that founded American Idol? What's his name?
Simon Cowell?
No, in the book of Acts, did they talk about Simon who wanted to purchase the gift?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm getting an epiphany here. Can we write this down for a moment? Wow. Simon wanted to buy it, and Simon today wants to buy it.
Right. Isn't that something?
Pause and think. Oh, my goodness. And so, you know, I guess that's a moment. Let's talk about it. You know, that we don't want to move past that. That there was this man. His name was Simon. And he was a manipulator and, you know, into witchcraft and all this kind of stuff and a community that had not yet, you know, received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul comes and begins to preach the gospel, or Peter comes, Paul comes to preach the gospel. And in that, he sees what's going on. He sees the power of God. He sees the talent of God in Paul's life. And he didn't know it existed until he saw it. And once he saw it, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I want to buy that.
Right.
He didn't know it existed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Simon, huh?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Simon says, right?
Right.
Come. Anyway, so yeah. So then, he says, how much does this cost? Mm-hmm. You know, can I buy you? Can you sign a contract with me that we can market this thing? We yeah. can market this gift.
All right.
And of course, this is Paul's response. You know, and he called curses down on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, be blind.
Yeah. Sure did.
Wow. And then the person who wanted to buy the gift said, have mercy on me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pray that this would be lifted from me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he thought he could buy the gift. Going back to what we're talking about. You know, that what you have is, you know, our God, by the way, you're created by God,
mm-hmm.
you know, the creator of the universe, and you're created in his image and his likeness, and he gives his gifts without repentance. You got a gift. I mean, mm-hmm. you can use it, you know, in the darkness, or you can use it in light. I mean, right. Look at singers. I mean, look at Elvis Presley, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He could just move through all the different genres, and his gift worked in all those different places. I mean, you look at Samson in the Bible, yeah. and his gift worked. Mm-hmm. You look at Balaam, you know, and his gift of prophecy worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're prophesying, you know, what God is saying you look at singers, for example. You know, and the thing about music is so important, mm-hmm. and God's created us. You know, if you go back and listen to 90 Minutes in Heaven, you'll find out that the biggest thing that you can hear that on the highlights on the VFN TV app or VFNTV.com, or of course the VFN TV blog. That the thing that Piper missed the most was the sound of heaven. We're created. Right. Don't think, oh, I shouldn't have any music or whatever like that. No, we make sure that we're not resorbing from prostituted gifts,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or if you're moved and you're feeling guilty because you're moved by somebody's song, that's not wrong to be moved by it, but you need to find out what the context of it. You know, I wasn't until my 40s till I actually started listening to words.
Right.
You know, I was into beats more yeah. than I was in it. About every fifth word or something. Yeah. and it was so loud I didn't know whether I thought I was actually singing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I get in my 40s. I guess we get more sentimental. You know, in our 40s. Yesterday I got my 40s. No. And I'm going like, oh my goodness.
Mm.
Oh my goodness, do you hear what those words are? It's yeah. just like my eyes were opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but the gifts, so what they do is, because men don't know, and they want to profit off of God's gifts. They want to profit off of God's gifts. And they know they can because it's God's gifts. They're powerful. Mm-hmm. Whether you're an administrator, whether you're a speaker. I remember a man telling me once, he said, Greg, mm-hmm. we were very successful in our business. And he was just on his climb up, and he was making, I don't know, maybe $10,000-$15,000 a month at that time in mm-hmm. his business. He was right. young. And we're sitting outside of a conference that we're about to have and that we're leading. And he says, listen, if I ever, 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 ever forget
where
I came from, mm-hmm. you know, how this whole started, would you please remind me? Of course, when he did forget, I pulled him aside, you know, and I said, Pat. No, it's not Pat. And I pulled him aside because, I mean, he's just a real cool dude. I really, I really think a lot about him, a lot of him. And I reminded him. I said, do you remember the day we're sitting on the boxes outside the meeting? And he goes, nope, don't remember it.
Was he serious?
Well, he just didn't recall it. I mean, the enemy will blind you. You understand, you know, people, the enemy will blind you. You'll forget. Yeah. Don't think you're going to all of a sudden remember something if you give yourself over to darkness. And then later on, I mean, years later now, I am sitting in Sam's Club having their wonderful, wonderful hot dogs. I don't know what they're called. They're called what? They're like a beef hot dog.
Hot dogs?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not just a hot dog.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, it may come to us in a moment. And somebody's going to let us know right here. Y'all can let us know what it is. But I just thought, yeah, I don't like hot dogs. One day I sat down. I was like, man, they're very, very good. And they're like a buck 10 or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, and out of the middle of nowhere, from a whole other state, this man shows up. And he's been, of course, everything crashed in that whole arena.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a wanderer. He's like a nomad, and now he's just traveling here and there, and just, you know, empty, and it's just like, it's exactly what Proverbs says, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, and it was just like he couldn't connect. Still, I mean, it was all cordial, but it was just like, you know, this is it, man, and he's just totally just. I'm like, oh my goodness. Let me tell you something.
Mm.
You know, don't assume that the Spirit of God will always contend with you. You know, at some point, you know, God can just turn you over, you know, and you don't want to be turned over. You want, if anything, you want to be falling into the hands of the Lord, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't play with God. And so think about it, because men don't know, like Simon didn't know about, I'm not talking about Simon on American Idol or Britain's Got Talent or whatever that is. He didn't know that,
the hot dog's called a Nathan hot dog.
Nathan hot dogs. Nathan hot dogs. The finger was moving. I didn't know what it was. That's an amazing finger, by the way. Anyway, so with that, that's Sam's Nathan hot dog, that they go through, I mean, thousands. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you see it, I mean, it's very funny to watch the people who come and try out because they're really sincere. I mean, you're watching their face. You're looking at them before they come in there. They've been in these crowds all day long, and then you're thinking, do you really got, you think you have talent? You can sing? And they really, thousands of people think they do.
They really do.
But you know what it is? You know what it is? They envy those who do.
Uh-huh.
And they want the lifestyle of those who do. If you listen to them, they're going like, I want the adoration.
Uh-huh.
I want the worship. I want the money and the wealth and all that comes with it. And they say it.
Uh-huh.
This is what I've always wanted my whole life. It's like, oh my goodness. And then they sing, yeah. You know? Like,
oh my gosh.
You know? And immediately somebody who didn't even know yet if they had the talent, because they're sitting on the edge of their seat wondering if they had the talent or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they try to, you know, do their song and their dance, and immediately they know, people who didn't know, immediately they know, they say, you got it or you don't have it.
Right.
And these marketers of gifts, marketers of gifts, you have to understand, they're going through thousands of human race. It's you. You're the one. They're trying to find you. And don't let anybody, including religious people, entrap your gift and force it to comply to anything other than the destiny God's called you to. That gift is for God, and don't prostitute the gift. And so, but these, because there's no fathers, there's not many fathers, there's 10,000 teachers, nobody's identifying people's gifts. Nobody's telling them what that is and how it fits in the context of all creation. Nobody is letting them know that that's a gift from God. This is how you use it, and it's supposed to be tightly fit in the body of Christ. Therefore, they're walking around looking to people in the world to tell me, am I gifted or not? That's what they're doing. And if anybody will identify that with them and say, listen, we'll help you with that gift. We will help mature that gift. We'll put people around you with that gift. And they just take it the other direction of darkness, you know? And so, but they don't know that. This is the interesting thing. All the money in the world, you know, all the money, lots of money,
right?
Lots. And what they do is, so they put the kid or the person on the stage, and they sit at the edge of their seats, two or three, four judges or something, who are hoping this person is gifted.
Uh-huh.
And then they sing, for example. And when they sing, the judges are looking right at the particular person, you know, God's creation there.
Uh-huh.
And the audience is behind them.
Right.
And they're like, they got a spirit of Simon on them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And yeah, you can use this. All the listeners, go for it. Preach it away. But, you know, give me a shout out when you get to heaven. So then they, so they're looking at the gift. The gift starts to sing and their hearts are moved. But they're not satisfied with that yet. They first want to find out if somebody will worship this gift. They have to know it. They will not. They'll even change their own opinion based off of if they thought it wasn't a gift, if they looked around and saw people willing to worship it. Because if they'll worship it, they'll take their money and lay it at its feet.
Right.
And if they got a cut of it, like Simon, you know, like the blacksmith did in Ephesus, you know, then they'll market it. And so they'll first be looking straight ahead at the gift, and they use their gift. And the fact that you're moved emotionally over that, that's not a negative thing. It's you're just recognizing God's gift in that person. And these people who don't even serve God, who don't even know God, at this point, they go religious and go, that's God, honey. That's God in you. It's like, you were just cursing his name 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not satisfied. Then they look around behind them at the ones that are supposed to worship God, and they set this whole thing up, this whole altar up, to see if they will worship this gift. And so then they look and they go, the people's, if it's a gift, people are moved by the gift. And so they're tearing up. Tears are running down all these people's faces. Their eyes are fully dilated. They're having this emotional response. They stand up and they applaud. And then after seeing that, the judges turn back to the gift and said, we want to put you under contract. Can I buy this?
Oh, wow. That's something.
That's what they're doing. That's what that all is. That's a spirit of Simon. And God, this is what the church has done. The church has done this, and they're just imitating what the church has done. They're imitating what the church has done. And they're being more astute in the ways of the world than the church is in the ways of God. I mean, they realize, hey, God gives gifts. Find the gift and begin to hone it in the way they want the gift to go versus the way God wants it to go. And people worship it. They lay money down. They buy their downloads. They buy their albums. They scream and holler, oh, Justin Bieber, Justin Bieber. Don and I watched, there was a program that came on television for this young kid named Justin Bieber. Just a young kid. And they don't even know this kid, but now he has, it's almost like second heaven just touches him. And all of a sudden it's all used in the wrong way. And people are screaming and crying for a kid that's just barely out of puberty.
Yeah, barely.
You know what I'm saying? And, I touched him, you know, I touched her. And it's like, understand this, that worship is God's worship. And Simon wanted to buy that. And that was Simon in the book of Acts. Now, what God said, what Paul said to this guy, he said, be accursed. He was made blind. And then he turned to God. Understand this, we got to replace what they're doing in the world in the church. We have to begin to mentor and be a family and care about each other and identify gifts in our sons and daughters of the Lord and raise them up and desire them to do better than us and do not sign contracts with them. Just hope they do better than you, you know, and understand that if it's family, they're going to honor the whole family. And it's amazing. And Brother Ken and I were talking about this. You know, he was in bed, and he's not doing well, and so he's in bed. And I'm sitting there talking to him, I'm talking to him about how this is all working and stuff. And he talked about how his children, you know, loved to watch that, but you know, he didn't necessarily love to watch it. And I said, well, I think it's just about going through gifts. And you think about that. You can watch that. And I encourage you, if you have not yet seen that, you know, you can just think about it. Watch it. Think about what Simon did. Find out in the book of Acts what Simon did. Because when he saw the gift that he didn't know existed, he realized that he wanted it because he could make money with it. And what happens with these young people who don't know their identity, they don't know that they're made in the likeness of God and that that they can have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And God does not want to suppress their gift. He wants to crank their gift up. He wants their gift, but he doesn't want them to take his glory for the gift that he gave them. You know, he shares his glory with no one.
That's right.
But there that we find you know, gratification in our life when we use our gift. There's so many people. That's a gift that people, you know, always love. It's the musical gift, the ability to play an instrument or that type of thing. But there's so many gifts. You may have the gift of hospitality. You may have the gift of giving. You may have the gift of encouragement. You may have the gift of teaching. But just like that gift is used, and you see so many people moved, you know, and so many people default and say, that's the gift that I want. Sad to say, for the wrong reasons, because they're wanting the adoration and the worship. Mm-hmm. They realize that when you use your gift, your gift of teaching, your gift of leadership, your gift of giving hospitality, you know, whatever it is that God's given you, that's exactly how people feel around you. That's exactly how they feel. When you just be yourself, you know, and you need to get with somebody that can connect with you, you know, in the Lord, and that cares about you and wants to help you discover what God has put uniquely inside of you and to use it for God's glory. And really, you know, that is actually more pleasurable and has eternal good consequences for it versus the other way, and taking the gift and prostituting it and for a season, a short period of season, making money on that gift, but ending like every rock star ends, ending like every musician ends, ending, you know, in a negative way, where it ends in darkness, and then sometimes they repent and they receive God, but that was just a squandered life, a squandered gift, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is.
Simon did it in the book of Acts. And now there's a guy named, is it really Simon? Is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
And Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Simon Bale Cowell. Anyway, so the, isn't that interesting? We're just discovering all kinds of things. We have so much to talk about. And we know we're just talking about out of the middle of nowhere, God just dropped on our spirit. Simon, oh my goodness, Simon. You know, we're talking about that. You got to, if you miss the first half hour, you got to catch it. It just kind of makes sense. You know, always I study that thing. You know, what is going on? And what it is just, it's the sin of Simon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sin of Simon. Another SOS message, right?
Oh, yeah.
The sin of Simon. And the truth is, they're just doing what the church did. You know, how many people go out and just hunt a gift up and then build a church around a gift instead of build it around God?
Mm-hmm.
He's just such an awesome orator. I love the way he poetically is like, dude, do you know Jesus?
Right.
You know, but I'm moved. I like what, you know, Kay Chara says. I just showed up for the concert. It was just like a concert. You know, we would sing a couple songs and then we would sit back and they bring in all these stars. This is actually a church.
Yeah.
This is a gathering. And they would just pull in this huge concert and drive Mercedes out. And it was just like, man, it was just like going every week to a concert, you know, and we have nothing wrong with just, you know, being dramatic and everything. But if that's what's happening in the hearts of the people, and they're walking away not even having a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not going to balance out too well at the end of things, right?
Right.
We'll be right back in a moment. John, the VFNTV app.
What app?
The VFNTV app.
What's an app?
Everything has an app. VFNTV and VFN radio program, we have an app.
An app for that?
We have an app for that. I'm telling you, you know, I think about it that there's nothing like having... That's a free app, too, by the way. It's a free app. As a matter of fact, you can find the app, John. You know we have an app.
Okay, we have an app.
Finally. It's an app. It's an app store right now. You go to vfntv.com. If you have a Google phone, go to Google Play. If you have an iPhone, go to iTunes. Either way, type in VFNTV in your search area of your app store, and you can get the VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program app now for free. Enjoy. Vine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing when you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening, and it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be, and it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be, but it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state,
in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city, but I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out, vfnu.org, vfnu.org. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just, I felt so restrained. And, you know, I know God's word tells us that he's came to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what? I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing, man. I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound. I am.
Previously on the VFN radio program. Good morning, good morning. We were just talking about the Declaration of Independence and all these wonderful things. And we're going to talk all between now and the 4th of July. We're going to talk about our independence. We're going to talk about, you know, things. We're going to share with you even the history of our national anthem and the flag and all that. But first, I want to say this, that we were able to get the information together that it was being revealed to us on the air Friday in regards to Simon the Sorcerer. You got to go to VFN TV blog. I mean, it was amazing how God just dropped that in our spirit. Mm-hmm. And if you go there right now, remember we were talking about, and you can go back and hear it. It's called Simon the Sorcerer. Simon question the Sorcerer, mark. Right. You know, ask question him. Come on, Simon. Oh, Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell, right. Which was the founder of
American Idol.
Right. All these different talent shows around the world. You know.
But Simon Cowell, Simon the Sorcerer, question mark, the X Factor.
Yeah, the X Factor, and that's the gift. They find the gifts of God. You got to hear it. You can go there at the VFN TV blog, and you can see it, and you can listen to it. But on there, we have the information, what we talked about. You know, it was just stuff that's being dropped into to my spirit while I was talking. But you can see, you know, the four, one, two, three, four, five of the young men that he found and he scouted out. He found they had talents. He put them together as a group. Mm-hmm. But then he actually put what appears to be blood on every one of them. And we have a picture, all five of, and we're actually, you know, our heart goes out to these young men, and we pray that will be given the desires of the heart in regards to the things of God, and that they would know him. And we're talking about, you know, the concept, the spirit behind that, because we're looking not at the world as much as we're saying the church is doing the same thing.
Right.
You know, and these young boys obviously were looking for somebody to recognize their talent, and they had to go to Simon the possible sorcerer to do that because the church was intimidated by their talent or didn't know how to move the maverickness to the usefulness and meekness of that we do in fathering and mothering. Anyway, and so in there, you know, at some point, they once he got them together, maybe their third performance or something, they come out and they start singing a song that has nothing to, if you look at the lyrics of the song, it has nothing to do with blood, Halloween or anything like that. And then the video, you have a video in there, you can see the video and it has a time code, snapshot of the time code, so you can hear one of the judges say, this was really great, I really liked it, this was good, but I don't understand what Halloween had to do with this. And look at the face of Simon when he looks at him like, no, you're not bringing this up. Because this is all his show. This is all his thing, you know?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the young boy singing the song on there as well. There's two segments of that actually happening. You can hear the judge saying what he said, and then the one that comes from, I guess, their program for the compliments of YouTube. You can see that's all on YouTube. But you see it all put together with the scripture, you know, that where the Lord tells us that we can be led astray, that the enemy will try to offer us splendor and all these different things, and we can't sell out God for stuff and things and power. And we have to understand, we have to be willing to humble ourselves because it's not about this life. It's for the life to come. And if you're fighting for splendor and power and all this different stuff, you're missing the whole thing. Somebody preached to you another Jesus. Because he said, pick up your cross and follow him. But, you know, but then we have to be fathers. We have to be, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can be a father that has children that are not listening, but how you know they're not going to listen if you don't father them first?
That's
you know,
right.
Give them a chance to have some sort of paradigm, some sort of grid.
Right.
And the Word of God says, if you train them up in the way they should go when they get old, so you don't always know how old means, you know. But in that, they were going to Simon. I mean, when you see, because we saw that video, we saw that Friday after, you know, we had to go find out what's God saying.
Yeah, right.
And they're running to him like a dad.
Wow.
They were looking for his approval.
Mm-hmm.
We got to put one more video on there because the one video we didn't put on there, when he went to his house, when he went to Simon's house and they were doing, I don't know what it's called, but they were segment there. They went to the house and they were waiting and they were using their gift and they were waiting to see if he would approve of their gift or not. Was he going to allow them to make it or not? And they were singing for their souls. And this was prior to the blood sacrifice looking thing there. And so is the issue them or is really the issue the church that we are doing the same thing? I mean, how many people take a gift and build things around a gift instead of be willing to build it around Jesus and face the reality everybody doesn't want Jesus? We want them to want Jesus. But when you preach just Jesus, you find out how many people want Jesus and how many don't.
That's right.
You know, despite what he's doing.
Right.
So we've seen miracles. We've seen people fall dead. You know, we've seen wild things happen. We've seen things that's like, okay, you know, you see that happening. That's not good.
That's called a clue.
That's
this
called
would
a
be a good time to turn to God.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
Right about now.
Yeah, you know, you're sitting here going, oh my goodness. Okay. So the last 30 days, God's been having you in your dreams hanging over a fire.
Oh, God.
And I'm trying to figure out what that actually means. He's warning you. Oh, my goodness. First of all, thank God he's talking to you because he could just not warn you. It means he loves you.
Right.
You know, Proverbs 33 says, does not God warn a man? Does he not warn him in his deep sleep? Does not he come right beside your bed as an angel and say, listen, if you don't turn away, then this is where it's going to go. That's a loving God going, I don't want you to perish outside of me. I mean, he loves you and has a plan for your life. But, you know, if you're having dreams of being hung over, you know, he's telling you this is your future outside. I don't know. You could tell me, John, who this is. Maybe it's Leonard Ravenhill. But he said, God will often take a man and hang him over the pits of hell and the fire of hell and then bring him back to use him. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill. Either that or
I'm
Jonathan.
Not sure,
Edwards.
But it sure sounds like Ravenhill. Right.
Because you got to know hell's real. I will never forget Kingdom Kids, his daughter, help me out, Van Lane. Van Lane's daughter, and the power of God was moving at the Brownsville Revival, and it was early on in the days, and she, God showed her hell. God showed her hell, and she began to weep, and she began to cry, and she began to prophesy, a young little girl at that time. Mm-hmm. She's older now. And she was weeping because she saw people going to hell. She saw them falling into the pits of hell, the lake of fire. you know, which broadsided everybody else who's sitting there going, this is having a good time.
Right.
And, you know, every day, you know, 100,000 or so people are dying and they're going to one or two places. I like to look at it this way. Imagine if you have an egg crate of a dozen eggs holds, it has like 12 little slots in it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine cutting the little hole out of the bottom of those egg crates. So you still have the egg crate, but if you put something in that particular one of those 12 pockets, it just falls right through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? Is that kind of hard to explain? Yeah. Okay. And so they're not going to hold anything, right?
No.
But it, there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
But then imagine underneath that, a big bin, some big metal bin, and it only has two slots in it. It has a right slot and a left slot. And so, and imagine having a whole bunch of marbles, and you just drop them into this egg crate.
Mm-hmm.
That holds 12 eggs, and they're all in different denominations. I mean, they're all in different, you know, little, you know, areas of expression, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when you come out of that, it's going to fall in one slot or the other slot.
Wow.
It's going to fall in heaven or hell.
That's right.
You're going to be. It's going to be. It's going to be yes to Jesus or no to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, all and these things. Go ahead.
And the truth about that, too, is that, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but not everybody is in a better place.
No.
You know, we need to get real and be honest with people and say, you know what? Not everyone's in a better place. There is a reality of heaven and hell. This is why we're preaching the way we're preaching and sharing the word of God and sharing the
Word
of God.
Why else would we do that? My goodness, you know.
Say that again.
Why else would we even do this?
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
With fear and trembling.
Yeah.
There are eternal consequences for our life.
Yeah.
And so not everybody's there. We can wish them there. We can hope they're there. And they may, that might help. You know, I can understand. Recently, I was helping a family, ministering to them. And there was someone in an extended family that thought they were consoling the family by telling them, you know, well, at least, you know, they're in a better place. And I got what the person was trying to do. I understand that they were trying to bring some sort of relief to this family that was mourning a significant loss. But the reality is that that was a lie. It was a lie in this particular case. You know, I went to a funeral one time, and the preacher that was sharing said, listen, why would you be so cruel and put someone in heaven? They didn't want to do anything with God here. They rejected his word here. They rejected his truth. They didn't want to be anywhere around the Lord. Why would you be so cruel? What do you think we're going to be doing there? And we have to be real about this. God loves everyone. He didn't create a hell for us. He created for the demons and Satan. He wants us to be with him, but we have to choose. We have to choose, and we have to share the truth. We can't just wish someone into heaven or just, you know, hope that they're there. You're either in or you're out, and close is not in.
Right.
Close is still out.
Yeah, that's right. Pregnant's pregnant, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. We'll be right back in a moment. You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends. They're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it unless you were there. I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord. And we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years, and where he met us in the wilderness. We went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful time. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like,
You're alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once, or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least at $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel, preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can sit 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now. We're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other, Mary and her son's talking, and says, oh my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. they thought Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. And he says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes, oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, and your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. John.
Yes.
There's the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of the Lord. Just awesome. There's a song that we sing as believers, and we've sang, it's been around for a while now, but it's called, right. Shekinah glory come down, where you're calling down the presence of God,
The glory of God.
Yeah, I remember in one of the VFN churches that they were gathered together and they were in worshiping, and there's a brand new person in their fellowship, and they've never heard about the glory of God or the Shekinah glory of God. And so everybody's singing that song, Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down, and it seems like everything's okay. But halfway through their gathering, this person leaves.
Right.
And then, what was going on? What was happening? So finally, maybe a couple weeks later, the pastor goes over and sees the person and talks to them and finds out what's going on and says, I was talking to my father, and I don't know who Shekinah is, but, we're not really into worshiping any of these gods. And it was just so funny. They actually thought that it was Shekinah, that they were actually worshiping some god called
Shakira
or Shekinah. And of course, she was able to explain what it was. It was so funny. You think about it. You're saying, where is this Shekinah or Shakira? What's going on right here?
That's really funny.
It is hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
But what we want to do is take time to do the wisdom moment. Every day we try to share the wisdom moment, and we read and share out of the book of Proverbs, and we select the chapter that corresponds with the day. And so since today is the first, Pat, of August, then we're actually going to be reading Proverbs chapter 1. So the wisdom moment for today in scripture is in Proverbs 1:7. Pat, the word says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Yep.
Wow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You know what? Knowledge without the fear of the Lord is not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
no.
That is dangerous, because we know, and the Bible tells us, that knowledge puffs up, right?
All right.
And, knowledge without a healthy fear is like, dude, that's not going to work out for you, because you can get puffed up with pride and you're setting yourself up for a huge fall, because it's not about just gathering knowledge and getting information. Even when we're reading God's word, we're really reading for revelation. We're reading and ultimately we want the manifestation of whatever God revealed to us. We want it to be manifested in our lives, right? So it's not about gathering information, whether it be worldly knowledge or biblical knowledge, but it's about, having a healthy fear of the Lord.
Right.
And you have a healthy fear of the Lord, Pat, when you have treasured the words out of his mouth more than your daily bread. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And man shall not live by bread alone.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we need a healthy fear of the Lord. Someone asks, well, how much fear of the Lord do you need? I'm still growing. I still need more. You know what I mean? Do you ever have enough?
Never.
You never have enough. I haven't got to that point yet, but I don't think you ever have enough. And so we want to think about that. We want to understand that, Pat, God's eyes are always on us. Proverbs 15 says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the wicked and the good. That alone, hello.
That's right.
Helps us out, right? His eyes.
Yes, are always on us.
Are always on us.
That's right.
So we have a little help with the fear of the Lord, don't we? We have a little.
Oh, yeah. If we don't forget, right?
Yeah, if we don't forget, maybe we got to, put some eyes on our hands or something. I don't know. No, we just got to remember that, God's watching.
That's right.
And if you're a believer, he's in you. So, he's there. He's present,
He's constantly talking.
You didn't leave him back home, what I mean? He's there with you. And so the healthy fear of the Lord, Pat, also helps us to really, you know, be in check. It helps us to be rightly related with God. It helps us to really understand that, you know, he's God. Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, and I can't live a life independent of his word, of what he says, of what his expectations are. Mm-hmm. Pat, he's God. He's God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's his way. You know, it's his will, you mm-hmm. know.
That's right.
And we're just happy to be here, right? Yeah. But he's a good God, you know, and healthy fear of the Lord is not, you know, we're not gnawing at our fingers and we're not, you know, knees knocking, although, you know, God can show up and that could happen, you know.
That's right.
You know,
all your faith.
You know, think about it. I mean, when men in the Bible have seen angels, what happens? I mean, angels, they fall to the ground, dude, mm-hmm. and they're like, get up, get up, get up. If that, what happens when you see angels, created beings, hello, I can only imagine, maybe not, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, oh my goodness,
yeah,
to be in his presence, you know, and to have that awe, you know, that reverential awe of God. We need that, Pat.
Yeah,
we so desperately mm-hmm. need that. You know, I'm reminded of, you know, desperate for his glory. You know, when just shared that just the other day, Greg, that it was awesome, awesome, awesome. I know that I'm leaking a little bit, but I know that was highlighted there on the VFN torch there. But mm-hmm. what an awesome, just to be desperate for God, desperate for his glory. And when you approach his glory, you better have a healthy fear of the Lord. May not work out good for you. So with that, Pat, you know, it says it's the beginning of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And in verse 1, you know, verse 1, chapter 1 of Proverbs, it really begins to tell us, you know, what Proverbs is all about. Okay? It says Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And Proverbs is for attaining wisdom mm-hmm. and discipline, mm-hmm. for understanding words of insight. It's for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are expected. God wants us to grow in wisdom. These are healthy, normal expectations. You know, verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple mm-hmm. and knowledge and discretion to the young. You know, when I think about the simple and the young, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Mm-hmm. But when I became a man, mm-hmm. I put childish ways behind me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so God is wanting us to grow in the fear of the Lord and in wisdom and in knowledge in its proper context, in its proper relation. And verse 6 says, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm amazed as I've been reading Proverbs for many years, and I encourage you, you know, you want to be in the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
I mean, there's one chapter, it appears it worked out just this way, but there's a chapter.
I think it might have been a plan.
Yeah, I don't know, but it sounds good to me that there's one for each day, you know, and you can listen to this on your the scriptures on the phone maybe or on the mm-hmm. computer, but Greg often says, you know, let it wash over you. Let this wisdom grow in you. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people, Pat, that have knowledge.
That's right.
You know, and how many times have you seen this, you know, and we can't be naive, church, but how many times have you seen someone because they're a doctor or here's an attorney, here's a lawyer, and granted, these people are smart in their profession and they're a doctor. They know how to work on bodies, you know, or they're an attorney and they're very smart about the law. But when we start attributing wisdom and start seeking, you know, biblical guidance, you know, mm-hmm. God's guidance right. from someone just because we think they're intelligent, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they're wise. No, wisdom is a proper application of knowledge.
That's right.
You know, you have to have sound judgment. When you read the book of Proverbs, you notice that there's a constant contrast between a man who is foolish and a man who is wise.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here's what fools do. Here's what a wise man does. Here's what a fool does. Says, this is what a wise man says. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. God, are you trying to tell me something? You know, I'm like, okay, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. What does your word say, God? You know,
right.
Because he's very clear. He says, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Think about that. Despise, it means like to distaste, to disgust, or disdain. And there comes a period in a person's life, and I mentioned this earlier, it's like, you know, it's time to put childish or foolish ways that God wants us to grow in wisdom and prudence so that we can begin to govern our lives accordingly. Mm-hmm. That we just don't make decisions just to make decisions, or we seek the Lord. See, that would be wise. You know, so mm-hmm. you know, what's wisdom? You know, if you got to make a decision, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't fly off the head and make one. You don't take advice from someone who's not abiding. You know, if they're not reading the Word of God, if they're not spending time with God daily, mm-hmm. what are they going to tell you in relation
That's
to
right.
God?
That's right.
In relation to how God feels about this particular situation. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to be a fool. You know, the Bible says that, you know, a fool says in his heart that there is no God, you know, and a fool doesn't appreciate the ways of God.
Right.
And if we don't have a healthy fear of the Lord, we are going to, you know, suffer greatly, I believe.
That's right.
You know, and I think that even our nation is starting to see that even now, you know, and even some parts of the church. And so, you know, today's wisdom moment and today's word is found in Proverbs 1:7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.